Welcome to Southern's Deep, the public health and social justice podcast brought to you by NASDAQ. Much like brewing stronger tea, this platform aims to brew stronger community by centering the voices of community leaders and their innovative work in the Southern United States. I am your host, Torian L. Baskerville, and I am here with my amazingly brilliant co-host, Bianca Ward. How are you?
I'm good. I am going to bask in the word brilliant today. Thank you. That
absolutely. I own that. You know, and don't forget amazingly, because that's an added bonus. You know, you're amazingly brilliant, and I mean that. So I'm actually excited to be recording with you. This is our first recording session together. I'm sure it will be the first of many. So I'm excited.
I am excited too, also because the opportunity to work with our new NASDAQ folks makes me really happy, especially since we're not in the office right now and can't, you know, have coffee and kiki in person. So this feels good.
I know. And we're very close now since I moved to DC. So once this whole pandemic frees up, we'll be able to hang out and meet and mingle. So I'm excited about that as well. So I am extremely excited about today's guest. He is an advocate. He's an activist. He is a fellow New Jerseyan. Whoop, whoop. He is a trusted colleague and a great, great, great friend of mine. He also is the co-founder and executive director of He Is Valuable Incorporated. Please help us in welcoming Richard Hutchison. Hey, Richard.
Hey, oh my God, that was like, oof, that introduction made me feel good. I understand, Bianca.
Right. That
made me feel great. I'm a bask.
You don't deserve nothing less.
I'm a bask in that. Hey, everybody, I'm excited. Everyone that hears us, good afternoon or good evening, depending on when you hear this. Excited to be here and being part of this conversation. Thank you all for inviting me.
So can I say before we get started, so when Torian told me we were interviewing you, I immediately looked you up on Facebook because I'm old and kind of a creep, and that's what I do. And I saw that we have like 20 plus mutual acquaintances, including our ancestor, Ron Simmons. So that made me smile, but also led me to believe that we have probably met before, our paths have crossed somewhere, or we're third cousins, one of those few things. But all of that to say, I'm really excited to talk to you and get to know you a little bit better. And Torian speaks nothing but amazing things. And I know all about He Is Valuable. So really looking forward to this. Thank you for joining us.
Well, definitely. I'm excited to be here with y'all.
Yeah, listen, you know, when we thought about this podcast and started thinking about people to join and like to highlight the work that they're doing. I mean, aside from you being a really good friend of mine, and I don't use that lightly, the work that you do in Atlanta with He Is Valuable is like groundbreaking. It is amazing. And to also think about like the conversations we used to have like back in the day before all of this hit. And to see that, but we'll dive into that later on. But I think we're really excited for you to be here. So before we get into that work that you do, given the current climate of the world, right? We're still in pandemic, right? Like, how are you? How is your heart? How are you maintaining, especially in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's been a year, y'all. It's definitely been a year, personally, professionally, mentally, spiritually. It's been a very trying year. But I like to, you know, I always like to hold on to things and count it all joy is one of the favorite things I like to say. You know, count the whole experience as joy, find the light and the love and everything. And so I'm in a good place. You know, I'm okay with like not being okay and in a space where, you know, we're not going to be okay. The world has never dealt with this before. And I think I've dealt with the point of like being guilty about like having days where I feel depressed or feel like this is so much, there's so much going on, but I think I'm at a space where it's okay for me not to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm working every day to, you know, build from that space. You know, the reality is that it's okay for us not to be okay. We can't save the world all alone, and the world is in turmoil. So we're allowed the space to like not be okay. So I'm good. I'm an optimistic person, so I'm holding on to my optimism. I feel optimistic about what's coming next in 2021 for myself, for the world, for everyone around me. So that's kind of where I am.
I appreciate that. It's okay not to be okay. I think especially since the beginning of the pandemic, we have been struggling some time to speak on how we feel because it's an experience we haven't had before. Also, maybe even comparing ourselves to other people or things we see on social media where people are taking this time at home and being so productive and writing novels and building businesses and birthing babies, just all of these things. But at the same time, giving ourselves permission to sit and to be still with our feelings, knowing that this is new for all of us. And like you said, it's okay not to be okay. I appreciate that, Richard. I think that's truth we all need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, we're now dealing with this for 9 months, right? We've been in this pandemic for 9 months struggling, and we're all still 9 months in, still trying to figure out like how to best navigate this world that we're now living in until, you know, a vaccine and all of those things come up. You talked about, you know, you having bright spots, right? Or having those things that you are kind of looking forward to and optimistic about. What are some of those things that you are optimistic about during this time?
I am optimistic about, I believe that this time has allowed, like we just talked about, a lot of people to sit in their stillness and find out, particularly when we talk about mental health and emotional well-being. I'm excited to see a lot of people that I know and love and work with and, you know, advocate for, who've been able to dive deep into that and like really let themselves sit in it and see where they go from there. Like, including myself, you know, I consider myself to be like pretty emotionally and mentally aware of myself, but there are things that I've learned. And so I'm excited to go into 2021 and see like how's that going to manifest? You know, we know we've identified like what will we do moving forward. And I believe a lot of people understand the importance of counseling, understand the importance of being able to like manage and identify our feelings and express them. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, especially with the type of leadership that we're going to have in our country. I think that it'll create space for like our leaders to be, you know, particularly leaders and activists and those who are doing like social justice work and work for serving other people, you know, space for us to dive into our emotions and like navigate that space. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for, just the opportunity to start over, you know, like a fresh page in the book. You know, I'm just really like excited. I'll be 31 at the beginning of 2021. So like, I'm excited. 30 was exciting. And like, it would be this year that 30 was like a lot. It was a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot. And so I'm just excited to take all the lessons, the things that I've learned this year, things that made me smile, things that have made me cry, things that have empowered me, things that have broke me down. I'm really just excited to be able to like take those things and apply them into 2021. And whatever that looks like, whether it's in my own personal life, my own romantic and love life, whether it looks like the work that I'm doing with my organization, whether it's building new relationships with people, like I'm just excited to like take all those things that I've learned and apply them.
You mentioned a birthday coming. Are you a Capricorn?
I am so a Capricorn.
When is your birthday, Richard?
January 9th. Yeah. Richard.
This is, again, maybe we are third cousins or just met. My birthday is January 1st, I believe. As soon as you spoke, I said, you know what? That's my kindred spirit.
Yeah, hey, Richard. You know, I'm about to say kindred. See, look at that. I was definitely about to say kindred. Another one of my closest friends, I call her my girlfriend from college. Her birthday is January 1st, too. And we were, like, really, really close. So that, like, makes sense. And she lives in D.C. That's so crazy.
She's probably related, too. Welcome. Happy almost birthday.
You too.
Okay, I won't be, you know, I won't rain on y'all parade, you know, the Capricorn parade. But you know, I love Capricorns because I love both of you, you know, but we'll leave it at that. But no, seriously, happy birthday to both of you. I didn't know your birthday was January 1st. All right. It is, come on.
You know, I am a whole national holiday, but yeah, the beginning of the year is it's special. And I too am looking forward
most Capricorns
to 2021.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, like 2021, first of all, it's a new decade, right? We're walking into a new decade. And, you know, I alluded to it earlier. Like, I remember when we first met in 2014 at a Many Men, Many Voices retreat that both of our jobs was co-organizing, and we was going through it as participants. And, you know, instantly there was a connection, and we had these long, elaborate, thought-provoking, challenging conversations to like the wee hours of the night. And to see that also continue through our 6 years of knowing each other and having a friendship. I remember some of those conversations about like our aspirations and what we wanted to do, and especially in this work. And I am, you know, thoroughly happy and proud of the work that you are doing with He Is Valuable. Talk to us about how He Is Valuable came about. And, you know, just what was the thing that brought you to that place of like, He is valuable?
Man, it's just so crazy, like looking back and just, you know, sometimes I just feel like you feel like you're just talking and just sharing your heart with people, and you don't realize how that goes, like talking that way, like you put things into the universe and like things manifest. Cause I swear, when I first started doing this, I was just talking and expressing like, look, my people are going through. My people have issues. I'm a Black gay man, and like Black gay men deserve equality, respect, love, and all the good things. So I started from that place. And that's why, like you said, Torian, like you and I had connected like immediately, because it was more than just the surface level stuff. Like we talked about everything, and interventions are great, but sometimes they don't always tap into the mind, body, and soul of Black gay men. And so that's where you and I connected. And that's really where where the start of what creating He Is Valuable began, before it had a name. Like, that's just who I walked into the space with. That's just how my advocacy lies in that space. Like, you know, Black gay men are valuable. I'm valuable. And you will know that when we are in this space. So before moving to Atlanta, you know, before moving to Atlanta, I was all set to move to Atlanta in 2015. And I remember I was so nervous. You know, I was 25. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. And like, I was moving to Atlanta, and that was the first time I was going to be like moving away from everything that I've known for 25 years. And so, you know, ironically and funny enough, I was like, okay, I'm going to go see my best friend, Torian. I'm going to go and see him. And so the agency that he was working for at the time, I said, I'm going to stop by, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to just get my routine HIV test. Let me just go in here, you know, connect. I'm going to come up here and see him. And so, ironically, and, you know, to my surprise, you know, the counselor came back after us, like, connecting and, like, connecting with our work and, like, saying how, you know, doing HIV counseling and connected with so many people. You know, he looked over at the test, and he was just like, it came back preliminary positive, you know. I, you know, paused for a minute. My heart dropped for a beat. But I had started to think about all the support and love and people that I've counseled, and the people that I've been able to sit and say, you know, your life is not over. And all the people that surround me that were people living with HIV, particularly Black gay men living with HIV, that have supported me and loved me and uplifted me, where I went from fear to like thinking about next steps. And I had text three friends that I text. I texted the co-founder at the time, who I was dating, and I was like, oh my God, this happened. I need you. And he was immediately responsive. He was immediately letting me know that like my life is not over, that I'm loved, I'm supported. And that like was so transformative moment for me and had me think like, you know, how many Black gay men have to sit here and receive a status or have received a status since the beginning of this epidemic where they've not had that level of support. They've not been able to like reach out to someone to know that regardless, like they've been loved, that they can live their lives a full and fruitful life. And from there, I was like, so many, I want to continue this. This is important. And so the idea of He Is Valuable is just like me and Kendall, co-founder at the time, were like dating and, you know, me dealing with my new status and him dating me, dealing with me with my new status and him having his own traumas, which we don't always talk about, him having his own traumas that he's dealt with as a Black gay man who was living HIV negative, but has interacted and loved and been in love with Black gay men who are HIV positive, him dealing with that and us coming together, navigating that, it's like, yo, we have to create something where Black gay men know that they're more than their HIV status. And in that, there's this intersectional view that people need to see that, you know, Black queer men are multidimensional, multifaceted, we're not monolith community. And so how do we create that? And so we just decided to start taking photos that show, you know, HIV shouldn't stand in the way of love. HIV shouldn't stand in the way of sex. HIV shouldn't stand in the way of intimacy. HIV shouldn't stand in the way of admiration. And so we just really wanted to take HIV and flip it on its back and say, he is valuable, regardless of his HIV status, that he is valuable, regardless of his mental health status, regardless of his, you know, social economic status, regardless of all these things, he is valuable and he needs to know that so he can pour all of that brilliance and beauty and light into the world. Because sometimes, you know, we can be hindered by our own internalized thoughts, but society can hinder us. And I believe that Black queer men like myself and society has really tried to stop us. And we have to really remind ourselves and know that we are valuable. And it means so much more when your family tells you that. So it means so much more when Black queer men tell me you're brilliant, you're amazing, you are, you know, you have something to give, and that means so much more. And from that, we can build and create a like a better society, not only for Black queer men, but like for the world at large. And so that's been pretty much the story. And from that, you know, community, I never would have thought that He Is Valuable would be where it is today. Like, that's not what I wanted, honestly. That's not where the vision went that far. You know, we just wanted to make some noise, you know, create a holistic story for Black queer men, but community grabbed on and said, this means a lot. He is valuable. We need programs. We need services. Like from this, like built community. And then that's where we created an organization 2 years ago from community saying, this is what we want. I want to help. I want to do this. We need this. We need a He Is Valuable here. We need a He Is Valuable there. You know, community-based organizations try their hardest to serve our community, but they don't reach us in this way. They don't cater to us and engage us in this way. And so that's brought us to where we are now. And every day I just sit back and think like, wow, like who would have thought? I don't know 5 years ago if you would have told me that this is where, you know, I'll be running a whole nonprofit organization, social movement that's really out here like moving and making moves. I don't know. I don't think I would have known that or thought that. So every day it kind of like, it's humbling for me.
I just wanted to say, because you spoke a little bit about it, right? How it started from like this taking photos, right? And these were not like your regular photos. These were very risque, boundary pushing, innovative, visual expressions of intimacy, of love. I remember one photo was like two guys in a shower.
That was myself.
And you can see the body silhouette of like the water and them together naked, right? And I think community, and in this work, we talk always about community engagement, right? And how do we connect with community? How do we get community involved? And when I think about that, I always point to what He Is Valuable started with because of the way that you guys pushed the envelope. Y'all were not afraid to take chances. Y'all were not afraid to be authentic in who you are as individuals, and do what you felt would connect with community. And I think you guys reaped that benefit because community latched on, which is how it got to the place of like becoming an organization, right? And so, you know, I think it's important to point that out. Like, we talk about community engagement of Black queer men. Remember to do that effectively. It requires you to be non-traditional and push the envelope and not think within a box that we oftentimes in public health are put in and boxed in.
I totally agree. I think that is exactly what we want. Like, we want to portray, like, not just the shock value of, like, of sex or whatever, but really showing like there is intimacy amongst Black queer men that is both lacking and present. And like that needs to be examined. It needs to be shown. And like when we talk about engaging Black queer men, we can't just start from this place of, we can't just speak from a place of like saying that sex for Black queer men is like this, you know, it's inevitable, like disease and disaster. We have to explore in a holistic way that speaks to the intimacy, the mental and emotional well-being that comes with sex and sexuality for Black queer men. Like, that's how we engage. And like, that's what we wanted to portray when we made, that was actually the very first photo. Like, that was the "He is valuable, we're here, like, world stop" photo. And we were like nervous, but we were excited at the same time because we both were working in HIV, you know, working for organizations and, you know, entities that were, it's like, oh, you know, you can't portray those types of things, but we did it. And it was for community. And so there was really very little pushback because community latched on. Community was engaged. Community wanted to know more. Community wanted to see how these black queer men, one living with HIV and one not, like how they are building relationships, not only with themselves, but like with their community and like navigating their mental health and navigating their aspirations and ambitions. Like, it was pretty powerful. And I think that is a great example on like how organizations and service providers can really tap into that when it comes to engaging our community in a more holistic way and not from this one kind of like centralized idea of like disease, disaster, let's save Black queer men because they need saving. But like, no, Black queer men have what we need. We just need to be empowered and develop in those spaces.
So let me just say how powerful your words are. Because now I remember again where our paths have crossed. So I sat in your session, USCA, last year, and specifically you said, sex is not just disease and disaster. And those words, because I remember then like quoting it on Facebook. Again, I'm still on Facebook. I am. Anyway, but I remember how powerful that was. And since then, that has stayed with me because I think a lot of times that's the approach. Sometimes that is the prevention model. I've worked in HIV for 20 years now. And when I first started as an outreach worker, even then there wasn't this level of sex positivity, and there wasn't this these conversations of sex beyond your status. It was you have to use these condoms, you have to use these dental dams. If not, you're going to look like this, or this and this and this is going to happen to you. And so you saying that it's not just disease and disaster gives it life, gives us permission to engage and to talk about sexual health in a different way, in a holistic way, as you said. So again, thank you for that wisdom. Can you tell me a little bit more about, so we've gone from, you know, He is Valuable being this amazing photo series to what it is now. Tell me a little bit about kind of what you all are doing, the services you provide, who is coming in and benefiting from this amazing work, and even, you know, what you hope for He is Valuable in the future, especially since it's didn't quite turn out the way you had originally thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's definitely every day it's growing, and it's like I consider him my baby. You know, he is my baby. And so every day, like, there's new, and I think that's important quality, right, for leader. It's like this transformative process. So every day, like, we can identify new things and you know, the way that people come into the organization and just bring brilliance and bring, like, what they know they need and have the ability and space to create it. It's like how we move as organization. To date, you know, we have this model that we use for, like, our service provision, our programs. It's called, you know, he is valuable. So everything is branded with, like, he, him. So we have our thing called he, him, his. And so all of our programs and services is he. So all of our programs, including our Chit Chat and Chew, which is our flagship program, which is, like, we, you know, post-COVID, we were able to, you know, really bring over 30 to 45 Black queer men into a small, in a small space. It started off in the living room, my own living room, where we talked about community issues from a Black queer man's perspective. But we were able to bring diverse people, including, like, Black heterosexual women, Black trans women, Black trans men, all in this space talking about community level issues. And so when we say he, all of our programs stand for healing and empowerment. That's what he stands for. And so all of our programs are centered around creating healing and empowerment, social opportunities for Black queer men. And we consider that to be a service to our community, because from there we're able to build relationship, build trust, and then be able to link people to our services, which is the his part of he, him, and his. So his is called he is supported. It stands for he is supported, and is our services and solutions program, where we're able to provide peer navigation to, like, HIV prevention, care, treatment. We're able to provide, now we've been able to develop our own, like, direct services. You know, one of the blessings of COVID is that we had to sit still and not be able to provide all the programs that we provided before. Mm-hmm. So we had to plan. And so through that, we were able to utilize some of the funding and resources that we were able to garner to develop these in-house direct services. So now we have what we call our His Closet, which is like a clothing closet for community members to access clothing for job interviews or just everyday life. We have our His Bank, which is like a mini small financial assistance. So we have, like, unrestricted funds that we're able to garner through, like, our fundraising and some support from organizations to provide small financial support to Black queer men, whether it's, like, for cell phone bills, for, like, basic necessities, whether it's, like, I have a doctor's appointment, I need to get to my doctor, I need to pay this copay. Like, we're able to provide small financial assistance up to $100 now, but our goal is to, like, make that grow each and every year. Mm-hmm. And one day be able to have a scholarship, that we're able to provide a scholarship to Black queer men who are, you know, have educational and entrepreneurial endeavors. So that's our His Bank. And then we have our His Bank, His Closet. I know I'm forgetting. So His Pantry. His Pantry, we're able to provide food, food security for those in our community, Black queer men and other community members who are dealing with food insecurity. So we're either able to provide them with like meals, or actually provide them with, like, gift cards to access food, things like Kroger and other, like, grocery stores. And so every day we're, like, building out our services program. So one of the things we're looking forward to next year, one of the things that we have been, as an organization, kind of, like, stared away from, because we really focus on community engagement and, like, being able to build from that to link people to direct services, is, like, HIV testing. And so I don't really have to explain to you, like, how, you know, organizations can be burdened and, like, pigeonholed to, like, these HIV testing numbers and, like, grants and stuff like that. And so we wanted to steer away from that and really do our part when it comes to, like, community engagement, outreach around those things. But one of the things we had opportunity this year, in partnership with Greater Than AIDS, you know, they donated to us some HIV self-test kits. So what we're going to do next year is do our own pilot HIV testing program with, like, this telehealth model, where we're going to provide self-kits to members who want to access HIV testing, collect our own data to see if this model is effective, and then see if it's something that we can share with other organizations that are doing HIV testing to offer as a community engagement model to HIV testing, and then linkage to care and prevention. And so we're really excited about building that. We got some funding to, like, help support that. And so we're excited to see what that model will look like. So instead of just doing away with the whole HIV testing, you know, we believe that there are better ways to engage Black queer men. So, like, why won't we as an organization test this out to see if it'd be effective? So we're really, really excited about that. And then lastly, the last part of our motto is HIM, which is He is Marketing. So a lot of what, you know, like we mentioned, we start off as social media. And so that's our wheelhouse. That's where we engage community and we're able to build programs from there. So He is Media is where we host all of our social marketing campaigns. And we also have social marketing programs, including one that I will say that was birthed through idea from me and Torian that I've been doing for like 2 years now. It's called Raw Talk with Rich, which is actually happening this Thursday. It's our last one for the year, which stands for Ready and Willing to Talk with Rich, which is really about Black queer men being able to talk about topics in an unfiltered way that is both transformative, engaging, is sex positive, and just a space for Black queer men to engage with us. And from that, we've been able to not only connect with Black queer men here, but like internationally. It's been very like humbling to get messages from like men from like Ghana and places in Africa where they're not allowed to engage with each other in that way. And they're like, wow, like I need this. I love this. I love this program. And so from our He is Marketing campaigns, we've been able to like grow internationally, be on international platforms, like podcasts like this, people engaging with us around the work that we do. And so we, from there, hope to continue building on these campaigns and build more online programs. Like that's one of the things that COVID has shown us. Like a lot of organizations are like struggling or like feel like they're on a way to failure because they're dependent upon in-person programs. And one of the things, we took this as an opportunity to like build more programs online. What can we do more online? And even when we go back to, you know, what our new normal will be, we will have a hybrid of like, you know, online virtual base and in-person programs so that we can sustain, but also engage community in a more meaningful way, in a way that works for them. Because we find that some people like in person, but some people will never show up to a program, but they will watch something online. They will engage with our social media posts. And we consider all of those persons members of our organization because they've engaged in our programs. They've engaged in our services. And so we really want to create that really transformative, holistic opportunity for people to engage with us both locally, nationally, and internationally. I hope I answered your question.
Listen.
That's amazing.
Listen. Answered the question. Thoroughly answered the question. Let me also just add this little plug in. I will send you all of my contact information so that the royalties from World Talk, I can get a piece of that. Because y'all heard it here first. God. You know, it was birthed out of, and therefore I want my royalty.
Oh, get your things, Torian.
And some exciting things coming from that. Like, and so I will be like sharing some stuff with you, but there's some exciting thing that Raw Talk is going to be on like this major platform that I can't really say, but like, in addition to that, we're going to be on a major, like a newly built platform where Raw Talk is going to have its own, like addition to like what we do live. He's Valuable. We're going to have like a Raw Talk special edition, and it's going to be on like a streaming platform. So I'm excited. And like, of course you're going to be a part of that. And yeah, we just want to build from there.
Listen, I say that jokingly and slightly serious, but no, seriously. I think you answered one of my questions was, you know, I know that a lot of the programming happens in person, right? Your kickbacks, mm-hmm. right? Which is like a major thing for Black queer men being able to socialize with like individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of my questions was going to be, you know, about how has COVID impacted that, and what has been the response of He is Valuable to that impact due to COVID. But I think you just so like eloquently spoke about like the innovative things that you guys are putting in place to make sure that you are continuously addressing the needs of individuals that you are coming in contact with in community. And I'm just so like overjoyed and elated at like my best friend is doing it, right? And is doing it for the people that we've always talked about doing it for, right? That we hold dear to our hearts. And so it is great to see it happening. One thing that keeps resonating with me, and you said it at the onset of our conversation, is manifest, right? and how literally it's just like everything that you are talking about is just like manifesting itself based off of conversations that we've had years ago, you know, about mm-hmm. how we wanted to do it and what it, we didn't know necessarily what it looked like, what it would look like, but just the effect. What we talked about manifesting, right? That space where Black queer men can come and feel supported and feel loved and feel valuable and feel seen. If nothing else, they can feel seen. We can feel seen. And I think, I know that the work that you guys are doing down there in Atlanta is important, is valuable. And it's shaking the tables, as they say. I'm just really excited for you and the work that you continuously doing. So I think my next question is like, so you talked about some of the stuff that's coming up with He Is Valuable. What's up with Richard? Like, what does Richard want to achieve? What are some of the other goals and things that drive Richard? Because listen, we all know doing this work, you know, I've been in this work for almost 11 years. Mm-hmm. You know, Bianca been in this work for 20 years. You've been in this work for 7 years, right? So we've been in this for a really long time. And we know that this work is not for the faint of heart. Right, it could be a lot. And so like what's next for Rich? What are those things that keep Richard going? How does Richard continuously fill up his cup to ensure that he continues to do the work that he's been called to and to manifest more of those successful things that he's been doing so far?
Well, first let me say, like, that question is so transformative and so important. Like you mentioned, like so many of us are doing this work as leaders and we don't have space to like explore those. And so I think it's so important that the platforms like this exist so we can sit and examine those things for ourselves. Because like we know, there's not oftentimes like, what does the leader need? What does the leader need to pour into themselves? So I think I want to start by saying like that question is like so amazing. So amazing. For me, what's next? I am looking to... You know, what I find I do best is spaces where I can be both creative and intelligent. And I think the things are the same to me, you know, creativity and intelligence go hand in hand. So I really want to really tap into my creativity more. I think it's manifesto, He Is Valuable. And I think that that's part of my legacy. But there are things that I know that I want to do personally. Like, you know, I'm really into like fashion. And so I really want to start like a accessory. I actually have started like an accessory like thing for like men called Kindred's Notions. And so I'm really excited to like start what that's going to look like. I love baking. And so a lot of people know that like I have a famous recipe of sweet potato pie. And so like I'm really building out my, it's called Zaddy Pies. And so those who know me know it's Zaddy Pies. It's a recipe that I got at. My dad, my grandma passed it on to my dad, and then my dad passed it on to me, and I add my own little spice, my own little special recipe, so we call it Zaddy Pies. And so I really want to be able to build that out, and more, I want to create experiences through that. More than just selling products, I want to create, like, experiences. So I really want to focus on building those, and hopefully from those, I'm able to build more financial stability for myself. And I just want to explore, like, creative spaces and do creative things, you know. This work is not easy, you know, I talk so eloquently about the things that we've done and it's not been an easy journey every day. You know, it's definitely been like days where I'm like, why? I don't want to do this. Like, and then there are days where I'm like, yes, I did it. I'm hitting it. I'm hitting all the marks. So it's not the easiest journey. But in order to like you said, Torian, to continue with that, I must invest in myself. I must invest into my own well-being, and I want to treat myself better. I think sometimes we may believe that, you know, self-care looks a certain way and kind of like commodified. And so we think, oh, I shopped for myself. You know, I did a little yoga. I did a little this, so my self-care is good. But like, I really want to treat myself better. I really want to invest into my well-being because that's going to be important for my longevity in this in the long run. And so that's what I want to explore moving forward. It's like things that invest in me. And understanding that things that just invest in me are not necessarily selfish. that they're selfful and they're going to be needed for me to be able to pour back into the community. Because sometimes we can kind of have, I forgot what it's called, but like as leaders, you kind of feel guilty for like wanting to invest in yourself and do the things for yourself and feel like you're not pouring into community enough and stuff like that. And I want to move away from that and treat myself much better. And so doing things creative, doing things for myself, taking time for me is going to be so important for my longevity in the long run, therefore the work that we're doing as a community and as an organization. Because this year has shown me, like, when I haven't done that, I haven't done my best work. And I've fallen short because I didn't invest and pour into myself enough. And so I want to be able to, like, mitigate that by pouring into myself while pouring into the organization and pouring into the community at the same time.
I think that's a lesson that we're all starting to realize how important it is to take care of self, to pour into self in order to keep going, because helpers need help and this work can be exhausting. And so just kudos to you for seeing it, for recognizing it. And I know you had also mentioned legacy, right? So I think that is one of the things that's so important about what you're creating right now is how it is setting this groundwork for future Black queer men or even youth that are seeing you now and saying, wow, that can be me, or I receive my support from, you know, he is valuable. And also being able to show future generations or younger us what rest looks like, what balance between serving and taking care of self looks like. So I think that that in itself is amazing. Did you, did Young Rich have somebody or an entity that he looked up to? And also, so that's one question, or are you now who Young Richard needed?
Indeed. I'm answering the first question first. I think indeed, like, I am definitely what I needed. You know, I, as a young, you know, growing up unknowingly to my, I mean, I didn't really know. As growing up as a Black queer man, like a young Black queer man, like really not knowing who I was and like really just exploring what people like put on to me and said I was and didn't really identify as, this is what I needed. I needed to know, regardless of whatever I identified as, whatever it was, that I had value, that I was going to make it through, that I would be supported, that people would invest in me. I will say that there have been people who have invested in me, right, in parts of me. You know, some people who invested in my intellect and my intelligence. Some people invested in me because I was young and Black and gay and I came out. But there was always, like, these compartmentalized separations of me. And so he is valuable. It's like all of those things. I get to bring all of those things to the table. And like, for me, I am who I need now. Like, for me, I tell them, when we have programs and stuff, I say, I know you all are getting so much from this, but y'all have no idea what it means to me. Like, it's pouring into me every day. It's giving me what I need to like move and manifest the things that I need and the support that I need and to know that I'm valuable. Like, I'm saying it to you all, but I'm really is a love letter to you all. But it also starts with like a love letter to myself by saying like, he is valuable. I needed that. And I would love to have had that as a younger self. I think so many of the things that I struggle with now as an adult and like my own insecurities and the things that I wasn't sure about that I'm still dealing with, if I had something like he is valuable, not to say it would be perfect because nothing is, but I would have been supported and loved and had the space to like navigate those questions, pour those questions out, the things that I was thinking to myself that I didn't say out loud. I would have definitely like benefited from that.
Listen, first of all, Bianca, let me just say, I so appreciate that question. That question is like, one of those questions that is like, it requires you to look introspectively and it like literally requires you to do some real like self-examination of like, am I doing this work and how am I doing this work? Is it good enough for the little me that I needed? You know what I mean? Like, I love that question. Great.
I think we want to kind of be the change we want to see in the world. But at the same time, what does that really mean in terms of what we are producing or creating or sharing with others? But I also think everybody knows I have two kids, so I'm very intentional in how they see me or what they see me doing or how I'm pouring into them. Because, again, legacy, but also giving them and giving young Bianca, you know, what she needed or what she didn't know she needed. So that's why I talk a lot about mental health and the importance of mental health. And can you imagine how folks could be different if some of our parents or grandparents accessed mental health services or had those things available to them or did them without shame and stigma? So I like, Richard, that you talk so much about healing and empowerment, and those things really are key in order for our own sustainability, to be able to serve others, to be able to create this healthier next generation, right? Because it's not just about us, but who comes next and how are they better by the way we have taken care of ourselves and them?
That was an amazing question. I'm going to use that for my staff. I'm gonna.
I'll take my royalties when you send Torian his check.
Listen.
Go ahead and care okay, of send them. Whatever you need all to right.
do. this, you know, I think this is, you know, it, for me, it's always great catching up and talking and chatting and conversing and like shooting it with you. You challenge me in ways that I don't often know, one, that I need to be challenged, and two, in ways that really require me to really do some self-reflecting. And, you know, I'm very introspective. And so I enjoy that process of like thinking about where have I come from? Where am I currently? Where am I trying to go? And am I aligned in that space to get there? Right. And so you definitely help nurture that and bring that space for me and it's safely. Right. I know that this work is very challenging, and can you speak about, and then you're in Atlanta, right? You're in the South. you, a person who is from New Jersey, you are a Trenton child at heart. No matter where you go, you will be a Trenton kid. And so, coming from New Jersey, right, and living in Atlanta, what has been some challenges that you've seen in the South? And not only that, also for Thrive SS and you doing this work, and I know you guys are a small organization that's doing a lot of work that you've laid out for us, right? What has been some challenges that you find while trying to do this work? And part three, because I also don't want to just leave it at the challenges. How are you addressing those or navigating those spaces to still be successful?
Yeah, it's definitely different, you know, being from, when they say up north, in the, like up north is a totally different, you know, we have our own issues and own problems, but just being in the South, the political climate and like the structural barriers are like ridiculous. Like it's ridiculous. And then the idea that those things are often married with like this deep rooted religious, you know, Bible thumping like ideologies, like it really has, it shows up in so many different ways. And I've seen it impact community on a personal level. Just from things as simple as like accessing like HIV care or like going into spaces where like, obviously Black and queer people are not, you know, openly welcome and like knowing and feeling that spirit, even though it's not as pronounced as like we were in like the 60s and 50s where it says like no coloreds, you know, or a colored section or whites only, you still in certain spaces get that vibe. And Atlanta is more progressive, but there are still spaces here where that exists, you know, outside of Atlanta. I don't know if I could live in Georgia. I don't even know if I could survive because Atlanta is its own space and it's more progressive, but still in the South. And so it was a lot of those structural barriers that are totally different that I didn't, you know, really realize in the North, where we have more privilege and more progressive spaces than we do in the South. Like, it's really, you know, simple things like stigmas exist for particularly Black LGBT people in so many spaces. And you would think, oh, Atlanta is Black gay Mecca, but it's still in Georgia. It's still in the South. And so all of those things, you know, all of those intersectional identities that we have and like all the oppression that comes with those, like, you definitely see that, particularly being a Black LGBT person. And so what channels do we use to do that? Like, I believe in radical visibility, meaning like, we're going to show up, we're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to create transformative learning experiences for people. You know, not to be disrespectful, sometimes it calls for disruption, but like, not to be disrespectful, but we will be present. We will be in these spaces. You will know what the experiences of Black queer people are. And I believe in radical visibility. And from that, you know, that's, and as well as advocacy, you know, one of the things that we do at He's Valuable is like, how do we take the problems and issues that community is like telling us and like create advocacy, you know, plans and agendas around like that? What does it look like? Do we go and support people who are out there, you know, doing protests and like things like that? We go out there and show them support. We provide them with, you know, support out there, whether as simple as providing with water or materials to make signs, or do we use our platform to highlight an issue, right? So like voter mobilization, we recognize that in during this presidential election, like young people and particularly Black people, and then, you know, really trying to hone in on Black LGBT people. What do? Oh, we create a campaign that like gives a message that says Black women get out and vote and make it a fashionable statement. So advocacy is our avenue to be able to creatively address some of the issues that and challenges that we face, particularly in the South. Like, and so radical visibility is one of the things that we like champion, is that idea for we're going to be present. You're going to see us online, social media, in spaces. We're going to tell our stories and present our narrative. It's not always easy. You know, we're still dealing with political officials who just don't see it for us. For lack of a better term, just don't see it for us and the value of our lives. But we will be present. We will make noise, and we will support those who are doing that to the extent that we can as an organization. Uplift individuals who are doing that kind of advocacy and that type of work to really change the nature of what it means to be Black and queer and live in the South. And particularly when we're talking about living with HIV or any other like health and social justice disparities that we face, we must be visible and create spaces where we can share those experiences so that communities and people know that these things are real. It's not easy. It's hard. You know, sometimes, like I said, you'd be like, I want to quit. I just can't take it anymore. I want to move. You know, I have people that want to leave Atlanta and want to leave the South because they can't progress to the level that they want to, or that they can't. And a brilliant people who need to be there and be doing the work that transforms and changes. But that's how the structural barriers and things like really impact people so much. And I really want to make a change and shift that before, if I leave or wherever, whenever I leave, I really think it's important to make a dent on those types of issues and that type of social climate that we have here, particularly in the South.
Radical visibility. Those are two words that are just, even when I heard you say it the first time, I was like, yo, like that is, that in itself is powerful, is a movement, is our words to live by. Radical visibility. Thank you. Thank you for
you
that.
You know, it should be.
I had to write that down.
It should be radical because this is things that, this is how life should be. We should be treated as human beings, but radical, not because we believe it, but like that's what they consider our visibility. Like, mm-hmm. Why are you in space? Who gave you the seat at the table? So, okay, we're going to show up and we're going to be here. And you're mm-hmm. going to see us. So we're going to, you know, radically be visible.
Love it.
Listen, I am full on today. And this has been exactly what I needed.
Y'all got me.
So how can people learn more? How can people get involved with He Is Valuable and the movement that you all are doing down in Atlanta? How can people get in touch with you? All of that.
Yes, I would totally invite you all to join the He Is Valuable family by following us on all social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mostly Facebook, you will see us engage. But we're growing in our social media. So check us out. It's simply at He Is Valuable. Check us out. Look at all of our campaigns. Engage. Leave a comment. And just learn more about us. Also, visit our website at www.heisvaluable.org to just learn more about the history of the organization, about our programs, our services, and just find out more information. The ways you can get involved, we're always looking for volunteers for our events. So there is a volunteer application on our website if you want to volunteer. And if you're in Atlanta for any time you're coming to visit or you live here, please be sure to like sign up to volunteer for any of our programs and services, as well as donations. As a small organization, you know, donations matter. And so supporting us in our, we call our valuable donor program. So all of the donations that have, you know, we would not even be as far as we are right now without the donations of community. You know, we have grants and support now, but we wouldn't be as far as we were without the valuable contributions of community. So if you feel in your heart to support us in that way, you can go to www.heisvaluable.org/donate, and there are like so many ways you can donate: Cash App, Venmo, you become a monthly donor and all that. So check all of those things out. If you would like to contact me directly to learn more about the organization, to invite me to come and speak about the organization, richard@heisvaluable.org. And if you can't reach me, you can go on the website and check out all of our staff's information is on there. You can connect with any of our departments and learn more about He Is Valuable.
Listen, there you go. And so I want to thank you for your time and this, you know, this exchange that we've been having, that I think is just amazing and it's great. And I thought it was, you know, important to highlight the great work that you guys are doing down there with He Is Valuable in the Atlanta metro area. It is time for the segment we call Southern Charm. Here we highlight the work of someone or an organization that is charmingly impacting the South. On this episode, we are highlighting transforming HIV resentment into Victory's Everlasting Support System Services, also known as Thrive SS. Based in Atlanta, Georgia, Thrive SS began in 2015 when three Black gay men living with HIV set the goal of offering holistic support to other Black gay men living with HIV. Thrive SS mission is achieve health equity for Black gay men through direct support, advocacy, and building collective power. Is motivated by the mounting intersecting disparities facing highly vulnerable Black communities. To address the multifaceted needs of Black men, especially same-gender loving men living with HIV, Thrive SS created the Undetectables peer support model. This model is indigenously designed to effectively address the intersectional concerns Black same-gender loving men living with HIV have with respect to race, identity, aging, and HIV management. The Undetectables model is a tiered support model that combines 24-hour online support, traditional in-person support, and friend social or the Judy support to address issues that many people of color living with HIV confront every day. With membership of more than 4,000 people living with HIV nationally, Thrive SS has the largest network of same-gender loving men living with HIV in the nation. Dwayne Bridges, Daniel Driffin, and Larry Scott Walker, the founders, innovated peer support and linkage models like their Re-Engage, Retain, and Reduce, or the R3 model, that has linked over 3,000 Black gay men, women, and other individuals living with HIV to support medical care and other essential resources. For more information on Thrive SS, please visit them at www.thriveSS.org. Listen, I love them. And I know that that may have seemed like a really lengthy statement, but I thought it very important to highlight, like, come on, a network of 4,000 people living with HIV nationally, like that deserves being highlighted, right? The fact that They have linked over 3,000 Black gay men, women, and other individuals living with HIV to support medical care and other essential resources. Like, that is work that organizations, you know, wish and strive for. And so I think for me, I just love Thrive SS. Yes. Not to mention, I have a personal connection with Thrive SS. You know, I worked as an HIV policy fellow for them when I lived in Atlanta. So they're close to my heart.
I think what's awesome, or what I keep hearing when we talk about Thrive SS, when we talk about He is Valuable, when I think back on, you know, the history of Us Helping Us in DC, there's just this people coming together to meet the need, right? Coming together to support, coming together to in community to take care of each other, not only to take care of each other and provide support, but to grow with each other. And so even Torian, when you were describing Thrive SS and those peer support models and the re-engagement and retention, it is literally us being reminded that we're not in this world alone and that there is so much need for us to take care of each other, to literally take care of each other. And that can look like a variety of things. But I think especially in, you know, working in HIV in that space, seeing yourself in someone else and saying, I need you to survive. I want you to be okay. How can I help do that? How can we help our community do that? So yeah, shout out to Thrive SS for meeting a need, for having such a large network of folks that care about each other. At the end of the day, that's really what it is. And imagine if we had more of that. Like, it takes a village to raise a village. Not just children, right. But we need right. that.
Yeah. Absolutely,
totally excited. Oh God, like I am like diehard Thrive. Like as a member of Thrive SS, like it means total a lot. And the support that I've gotten, and the encouragement that I've gotten to even like build He is Valuable to what it is, is from the support and love and community that I've gotten from Thrive, and the support of my big brother Larry. And Daniel and Dwayne, like that support is priceless. And so many of the people, particularly here in Atlanta, so many Black gay men with HIV get that love and support. And so I'm just proud to be a part of that and also receiving that love and support to like not only just go on as a person living with HIV, but as a Black gay man who has dreams and aspirations. Like I get that love and support from Thrive. So major shout out. I will always be a major fan and proud member of Thrive SS. And so many members of He is Valuable are a part of Thrive as well. So like we are like a big interconnected, like you said, village, building more and building more. So like shout out to Thrive. Much love to my brothers.
Listen, I am so grateful for all of the Black queer magic that's happening on today's episode between He is Valuable and Thrive SS. And so thank you, Richard, again for coming on board and talking with us. Thank my lovely and amazingly brilliant co-host, Bianca. And always thank you for all of the listeners who's tuning in. Thank you so much. And that concludes until we get to the next time of Southern Steep.
Thank you. Bye.